And I'm thankful to be able to be out with you tonight. I'm thankful to be able to think about something else for a little while, aren't you guys? If you like most people, you've had some other things on your mind since last night, and all that really shouldn't matter, I guess, that much to a Christian. We serve somebody greater, and he's in control of all things. If you would open your Bibles up to the book of John, we'll be starting in chapter 3 tonight. John chapter 3. We're going to attempt to go through 21 verses. That'll be the conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus, the first 21 verses. If you'll remember last week, when we wound up chapter 2, I said it was important in understanding that the end of chapter 2 helps us to understand the beginning of chapter 3. Chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, it talked about the fact that there was a lot of people that believed in Jesus. They believed in Him, in essence, that apparently He was from God. They could not deny the miracles that He did. But yet the Bible here says that Jesus did not see those people as true disciples. And we talked about the fact is, because all they had was what the world would call a faith. They simply believed in Him. They did not believe Him. Now, you might say, well, that's the same thing. That's not the same thing. I can believe in something, but not truly believe it. I can believe that Jesus is real. I can believe in Him and the fact that God sent Him down here and He can do amazing things. But unless I truly believe Him, I'm not going to listen to what He has to say. I'm not going to do the things that He asked me to do. And that's kind of where these people were. They believed in Him. They knew He was a good man. They knew that God was with Him. But that was pretty much the extent of it. And then chapter 3 opens up and we've got another one of these people. That chapter 2, the end of it, describes verbatim. Because Nicodemus, he himself is going to even say, you know, we know you're from God. We believe that you're from God, but that was the extent of his faith. And that's the extent of a lot of people's faith today. They maybe believe in Jesus. Maybe they believe He is the Son of God. But that's about as far as they take it. They don't want to take it to the point that He would have them to take it to. So let's open up chapter 3, and I tell you what, we'll just read those 21 verses, and that way we've got the full idea of what we're talking about, and then we'll come back and we'll break it down as much as we can. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and they said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, and he saith unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered, and he said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All of this is Jesus' sermon to Nicodemus there at the night. So let's go back and let's break this down. What about Nicodemus? What do we know about him? First off, the Bible says he's a Pharisee. Pharisees, maybe most of us perhaps know what they are. There are people that believed in the resurrection. They were very staunch in their traditions, especially. They claimed themselves to be the most religious of people. They thought they were of a higher level than all the other Jews. The Pharisees came into being, we know, during those 400 silent years between the end of your Old Testament, beginning of the New Testament. We know he is a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was similar to our Supreme Court. Nicodemus is he's a high and mighty man in society. We know about Nicodemus three times in this book. This time here in John chapter 3, we read about him again in John chapter 7. In John 7, he defends Jesus before the court. And we read about him again in John chapter 19, where that he begs for the body of Jesus, and he takes part in anointing him with those spices and takes part in his burial. Nicodemus was perhaps a good man, perhaps a man that strove to do what was right. Verse 2 says he comes to Jesus by night, and I've heard a lot of sermons about this, and people, or a lot of preachers are going to say, you know, Nicodemus, he was scared. And he snuck in here at night when nobody would know he's around and all of this, but I don't buy that. That may be the case, but I don't buy that. Jesus was a busy man, was he not? I mean, 3.5 years of his ministry, he is going from daylight to dark. He is doing so many things. He's a busy man, and if you want to talk to Jesus and you really want to have a conversation with him, when are you going to go? I think about my life. Most of the days in my life, just about every day, I'm running wide open, right? I mean, we get up there and we're going at daylight and we're working till about dark. And if you really want to have a conversation with me, it's probably best not to come in the middle of the day, is it? Because I'll try to talk to you, but my mind may not be there. But if you'll sit down with me at night, more than likely I'll talk to you. Now, that's just my opinion. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he was trying to get away. But I really believe that he wanted to sit down and talk to Jesus. I believe that because he come with questions on his mind. He come and he was even willing to reason with Jesus. He really wanted to know the answers. And like I said, we find out from those two later accounts that Nicodemus apparently was a good man. He was an honest man. You know, you don't meet Jesus in chapter 7 unless you're a person with some integrity within you. So I believe Nicodemus wanted to know some things about Jesus. He comes and he calls him Rabbi. Rabbi, that's a term of endearment. It's saying, you know, I'm praising you because you teach like other people don't teach. I believe that you teach more with authority than other people do. And Nicodemus even says, we know. We know you're a teacher come from God. Maybe he's speaking for the Sanhedrin. He's saying, we can't deny, and that's what he says, we can't deny these miracles. We know that God had to have sent you because there's no denying the things that you are doing. Now, the only miracle we have recorded in John so far is turning the water to wine, but he had done other things, And at the end of chapter 2, we find out that's why people were believing in Him. That's why people believed that He was real, because He was doing many mighty things. Doing things that was proving that He was definitely from God. And Nicodemus couldn't deny that. There was no way that he could deny it. But yet, you see, the miracle should have confirmed Nicodemus to listen to what he said. No doubt they had heard Jesus speak. No doubt they had heard John speak. They knew what was commanded of these people, but he's still not ready. You see, he just believes in Him. He doesn't really believe Him. He's not got to that point yet in his life. Verse 3, Jesus, he doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't say, you know, Nicodemus, man, I'm glad you came and talked to me, and you know, I've just got a feeling you're a good guy. Let's sit down and let's reason. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He just goes right into the fact, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Well, we find out back in chapter 1, after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit come down upon him. We talked about that. And it brought back that power that he had laid aside for a time. And now he knows what people are thinking. He knows what's on their heart. Remember with Nathanael in chapter 1, he knew things about Nathanael, and you know, it caused Nathanael to confess him. But Jesus knows where Nicodemus is at. He knows that Nicodemus believes in him. He knows all of that, but he knows the point that Nicodemus is at, that is, he's not willing to change his ways. He's not willing to lay aside that old law and his position as a Pharisee. He's not willing to do that, and he's trying to get Nicodemus to see, hey, you've got to start again. You've got to lay that aside, and you've got to go back to the bottom, if you will. Nicodemus thinks he's up here, and he doesn't want to be down here. Remember, Jesus teaches all throughout his ministry, if you're going to be the greatest, you're what? That doesn't work. That doesn't work. You've got to be willing to submit yourself, to be submissive, and to be the least. And he knows where Nicodemus is at. He says, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You've got to start all over. You've got to change everything about your life, because Jesus came to change everything about the law. Not necessarily change it, but to fulfill it. To bring it to its fulfillment. Well, Nicodemus, he doesn't understand that. He says, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I want you to think about that for a minute. That's kind of a silly response, isn't it? This guy is supposed to be a ruler of the Jews. This guy is a member of the highest court here in the land, and he is supposed to be a biblical, spiritual person. And Jesus tells him, you've got to be born again. And his first thought is, can I go back into my mother's womb? That's not even reasonable, is it? That's not even what a religious person should think about. But does Jesus ridicule him? Does Jesus say, now Nicodemus, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say? That's what we would say, probably, right? And sometimes that's how we treat each other in this world. When somebody comes up with something that we think is not a very good question or whatever, we belittle them. Well, Jesus doesn't do that. Even though if there's any case that I've ever heard of, this perhaps is one of them. Nicodemus is thinking purely physical. He's not thinking spiritual at all. And in fact, the people of this time, that's one of their biggest problems. Everybody is thinking physical. And nobody's thinking in the spiritual. Even the apostles and the people following around, his disciples, they're all thinking with their physical mind. Maybe you remember last week in chapter 2, we talked about Jesus was telling them certain things. Like, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it again. They're thinking all physical. And later, after it all happened, you remember the scripture says, and they remembered what he said, and then they could think clearly. Well, you see, that's their problem. And again, sometimes that's our problem. We need to learn to think with a spiritual mindset when it comes to the Bible, and that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach him in the next verse. Jesus answered and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand. He didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus lays it out for him. Hey, was this new to Nicodemus? No. Like I said, no doubt, he's already heard the preaching. And what did Jesus and John and these disciples, what were they preaching? Well, they were preaching, repent and be baptized, right? The kingdom's coming, man. We've got to get everything ready. We've got to get it in place. And we've got to get these people converted. And they were preaching this same thing over and over again. And no doubt Nicodemus already knew that. But again, it had not clicked in his mind. Because all he was thinking about, again, was the physical. But I want to look at verse 5. And I know you guys, you've studied John chapter 3 through the years. I don't want to spend just a multitude of time on it, but I want us to understand a few things. Jesus says, except. I want you to underline that in your Bible because there's not another way. You don't get a second chance. You don't get a Burger King have it your way thing. It doesn't work like that. Jesus said, except you do what I'm about to tell you, you don't get to go to heaven. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. I don't care what anybody in our leadership says. Jesus is the King. And he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what that equates to is being born again, right? That's what verse 3 said. Got to be born again. You know, nobody doubted that the water was baptism until the last 150 years. You can go back and you can study, and nobody ever doubted it. But yet people today, they're going to fight against that. I've had denominational preachers, and I told this to a class I was teaching back over here before all this mess started with this disease. But I had a denominational preacher sit across the table from me and tell me that the water there was the amniotic fluid in a woman's womb. And I looked at them and I said, what other way are you going to be born? And they said, but you don't understand. A man has to be born from the womb of a woman to go to heaven. And what other way are you going to be born? Was my question. But that was kind of like the response Nicodemus had. Can a man go up into his mother's womb and be born again? No. But you see, people are going to dream up anything and everything they can in their mind to put away exactly what the Bible says because they don't believe what it says. They already have their mind made up, so they're going to twist it and they're going to turn it, just like the premillennial stuff we're talking about on Sundays. They're going to twist it to whatever they want it to say. And people of the world, they don't want this to have anything to do with baptism. They don't want the water to have anything to do because they don't believe baptism has anything to do with salvation. No matter how many times Jesus teaches it, no matter how many times the Bible says it, they don't want to believe it. So what they believe is a man's got to be born of a woman and the Spirit of God has got to operate on his heart totally independent of any work that a man might do, and that's the only way that he can be saved because Christ's work is finished on the cross, and there's nothing, they say, that I can add to it. But is that what Jesus is teaching? Jesus says, this is something I have to do. He says, except a man be born again. In fact, this is something that has to be done unto me. If there is something in this life that I have to have done unto me, then I have to be a submissive participant in that. Jesus says, I've got to be born of the water, but not only the water, I've got to be born of the Spirit. What role does the Spirit play in all of this? What role does the Spirit play in everything when it pertains to our salvation? You know, if the immediate context, and I've told you guys this before, doesn't give a very explicit answer, what I do is I go to another passage dealing with the exact same thing, and I see what that passage says, and it helps me to understand. Well, if I go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I begin in about verse 22 where the Bible says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now listen to verse 23. "Being born again." Ain't that the same thing Jesus said? 1 Peter 1 verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." What did Jesus mean when he says, "I've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit"? The same thing that he meant in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The same thing he meant when he said it through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, where the Bible says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." What part does the Spirit play in my salvation? The Word of God is what teaches me everything that I need to know to be saved. So through that spiritual influence of the Word of God, I obey what Jesus says. I submit myself in that waters of baptism. And when I come back up, I am a new creature. Isn't that what Romans chapter 6 talks about? Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about? Isn't that what a host of other passages talks about? I am a born-again believer. I'm not the same person as I was before. I bury that old man in the water, and when I come back up, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. I am born again. Now, once I am a New Testament Christian, because I am a son, God hath given me His Spirit. And that also goes along with it. Galatians 4, verse 16. Because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit into your heart. I become a son. I am adopted. I am brought into the fold of God when I am born again of water and of the Spirit. And at that same point, Jesus delivers me, Colossians 1, verse 13, from the power of darkness, and He translates me into the kingdom of His dear Son. All of that is done in a spiritual way when I do exactly what Jesus is telling Nicodemus to do. And Nicodemus doesn't understand that. And a lot of people today, they don't understand that. And he goes on and he's trying to explain this a little bit more to Nicodemus. He says, verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, Nicodemus, when you were born as a child, you shared the nature of your fleshly parents. But he says, I'm not talking about a physical, natural, earthly thing here. I'm talking about a spiritual process. Becoming a child of God is a spiritual process. It is something that God and only God can do for us. We can't forgive our own sins. We can't do anything to merit our own salvation. And what Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus is this spiritual thing bears the nature of the spiritual. And he goes on to say, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Don't be surprised that I said that, Nicodemus. Don't be amazed at something like that. I want to help you to understand it. He goes on to say, "The wind blows where it listeth." The wind blows. I want you to think about what he's trying to say here. What was it? Sunday. Sunday the wind blowed, right? And if you were outside, you knew the wind was blowing, right? How'd you know the wind was blowing? Do you see it? Anybody ever seen the wind? How did you know the wind was blowing? By the effects, right? By the effects. Jesus says you can't see the wind, and you don't know where it comes from and where it goes, and you may not understand the process, but by the effects of the wind, you know it's there, and you know it's true. He says those that are born of the Spirit are the same way. A New Testament Christian that has been born again, been born of God, is a different individual, is he not? Is she not? When we become Christians, shouldn't the world see the effect of our being forgiven? Of our being a saved individual? If we're no different after we've been born again than we were before, well, we weren't really born again, right? We got to be a new creature, a different individual. And he's trying to get Nicodemus to see this. Man, just because you don't understand the spiritual aspect of all of this, don't doubt. Don't doubt. You don't understand the wind. You don't understand a lot of things, but you believe it to be true. You don't have to completely understand this, Nicodemus, but it's still true. Just don't doubt. Well, Nicodemus, he still just doesn't get it. He answered and says unto Jesus, how can these things be? He says, I within me, I just don't understand. You're telling me all of these spiritual things. And remember, Nicodemus, he's just thinking physical again, and he doesn't get it. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 4 with me just a moment. And I want us to look at a real short parable that Jesus taught. And it's going to go hand in hand with what we're talking about. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 26 through 29. Just four verses, but it's going to go hand in hand with what Jesus is trying to teach. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, if you'll remember Luke 8, verse 11, the seed is the word of God, so somebody's sowing seed upon the ground. Verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. What is he trying to say here? He's saying Christianity is a lot like farming. He says somebody comes along and sows the seed. And that seed takes root. That seed is germinated and that seed grows. And as that seed grows, it matures and it becomes what it is supposed to be. And then at the end, it is harvested. And what he's saying is it's just like the life of a Christian. Somebody sowed the Word of God in your heart at some point in time. And that seed took root. And you don't understand all of the aspects of that. None of us do. Can any of us truly grasp the fact that somebody can take a literal seed and drop it in the ground, a dead seed, and God can turn that into a plant? Do we really and truly grasp that? We know what happens, and we understand it takes the soil and the nutrients and the light and the water. We understand that, but can we truly grasp every aspect of it? No. And it's just like salvation. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. You don't have to truly grasp every aspect, but you can see the effects and know that it's true. Go back to John chapter 3. We're going to try to finish up before time runs out. So Jesus, again, talking to Nicodemus, he doesn't answer. How can these things be so? I mean, I still don't get it, Jesus. I just don't understand. So verse 10, Jesus says unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? That's kind of a pretty stern rebuke, right? Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Jews. Man, you should know the law of Moses. You should understand all of that and all of these things pointing to me and a change of the law and all of these things. You should be thinking in a spiritual sense. You're a master of Israel. You should know this. But you don't. There's a lot of people today should know more than what they know, but they don't. And it's sad. Verse 11, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak. He changes from I to we because he knows that Nicodemus has heard this from many different people. All of these people that are following and preaching in his name. We speak that we do know. Jesus says, I'm telling you what I know, and these other people that are preaching, they're telling you what they know to be true. And they testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I mean, you see the miracles, you say you believe that I'm real, but you don't truly believe it. You don't believe it with all your heart enough to act upon what you know and you see to be true. He says, if I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Jesus says, what I'm telling you up to this point, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple. He says, a man's got to be born of water and the Spirit to go to heaven. You've got to listen to what God had to say. You've got to be willing to take that word of God, and you've got to be willing to believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized in that water, reenacting His death, burial, and resurrection, and you become a saved individual. The Spirit working in tandem with the water here. He says, that's simple. That's not hard. He says, and you know, if you don't believe these simple things, how am I going to go on and teach you things that are deeper, things that are harder to understand? How am I going to teach you heavenly things, Nicodemus, if you can't even get the basic things? How am I going to try to explain things more to you? You see, there was a lot of people in this boat. A lot of people. If you remember in John chapter 6, you've got multitudes of people, and it'll be a while before we get there, but you've got multitudes of people that are following Jesus around, and He starts teaching things that are hard. And what do these people do? The Bible says they stop following Him because they didn't want to know these heavenly things. They didn't want to know these deep things of God. They didn't want to know these things that were hard to do. They were just basing and wanting just the simple. And sometimes as Christians, that's what we want, just the simple things. We want the earthly things, the basics. We don't really want the heavenly. But yet Jesus is the only one qualified to truly teach Nicodemus these heavenly things. And He's going to start to do this, hoping that Nicodemus, and we don't know, hoping that some of it's going to take root. Verse 13, Jesus says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. In essence, Jesus is saying in verse 13, I have been there. I have been one with the Father. That was my dwelling place, and nobody else can tell you the things that I am telling you. But here I am, and I'm revealing all of this to you, Nicodemus. And he says, I'm hoping you're going to get it. But he says, you don't understand the earthly. How are you going to understand the heavenly? Verse 14, he goes on and he's, remember, verse 10, Nicodemus is a master of Israel. He should have been able to see what he's going to say in verse 14 because there's so many things pointing to Jesus. That is a type and an anti-type. Jesus and all of these things, the Passover lamb and just multitudes of things. But he says, verse 14, and as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He brings up what happened in Numbers chapter 21 where the people were complaining against God. And maybe you remember God sent fiery serpents among the people. And the serpent would bite the person and the person was going to die. But they cried out. And God was merciful. God was gracious. And God told Moses, He says, I want you to form a brazen serpent. I want you to put it on a pole. And I want you to set it in the midst of the camp. And He says, anybody that will go look upon that brazen serpent will be saved. He'll be healed. He'll be whole once again. And Jesus says, I'm a lot like that brazen serpent. And just like Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, put it on a pole, in essence, Jesus says, I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up from the earth. And He goes on to tell us that in John 8, verse 28. That He's going to be lifted up just like that. And He says people are going to be healed just like that. In those days of the brazen serpent, people had to do more than simply just believe in that brazen serpent. They could sit in their tent and says, man, you know, God, he, He sent Moses to make this brazen serpent, and this brazen serpent's going to heal me, and I believe that it's going to heal me. But until they got up and they did something, they were going to die. They didn't have any hope. But yet God's grace provided the way. God's grace provided a serpent on a pole in order to make them whole again. Jesus saying, God's grace is providing you a way, Nicodemus. It's providing you, and all you've got to do is be born again of water and the Spirit. It's not a difficult thing, but you've got to start over from the beginning. You've got to become a new creature. And when you do that, you receive God's grace. You receive God's pardon. And again, Nicodemus should have known that. Verse 15. Again, hand in hand with the brazen serpent, that whosoever believeth in him, you might want to underline in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, just like the brazen serpent. If we'll believe in him, if we will go through Christ and into Christ, well, we can not perish. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you guys have heard sermon after sermon after sermon on this. And maybe we understand it. God loved us. God has a love for mankind, and he doesn't want anybody to be lost, 2 Peter 3:9. He wants all men to come to repentance. His grace appears to everybody, Titus 2, verse 11. And there's no reason that anybody should perish. And maybe you want to underline in your Bible, should. Because there's no reason anybody should if they truly believe in him, if they are willing to act upon their faith and commit themselves into doing what Jesus says. There's no reason anyone should perish. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's telling Nicodemus in verse 17, you've got to get rid of this physical way of thinking. Again, these people really and literally thought that Jesus was coming into the world to be their physical Savior, to be their judge, to be their leader, to be their ruler, to fight their battles, to do all of these things. But Jesus says, God didn't send me here. I didn't come here for that purpose. I came here for the sole purpose to save people from their sins. The Son of Man, Luke 19, verse 10, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to fight your battles. He didn't come to be your judge. He didn't come to do all of those things. He came here to save your soul. Nicodemus, he says, you've got to be able to get this. You've got to be able to see it. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That sounds a lot like Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those people that go through him, that do it his way. There's no condemnation. And isn't that the place that you and I want to be? That's what he's trying to tell Nicodemus. He that believeth on him, continues to believe upon him, acts upon his belief upon him, well, there's no condemnation. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. If you don't believe to the point of action, if you don't believe to the point that the people there in the wilderness with the brazen serpent, if you don't believe to the point of doing something about what you claim to be true, then you're condemned already. You can say you've got faith. You can claim that I'm a teacher from God. You can do all of these things. But if you don't take it to another level, Nicodemus, you're already condemned. There's nothing I can do for you. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What was it we began this book, John 1, verse 4? In him was light, and the light was a light, and life was a light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the light. Like we said, he is the thing that, or the being that illuminates our path that is before us. And he does that through his word. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It is the illumination that is before me. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, most people don't like the light. Most people don't like what I've got to say. Most people, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Most people want to do what they want to do. And they don't want anybody telling them any differently. And isn't that the world that we live in today? You know, aren't most people for the sinful? Yeah. I'm convinced more and more society around me, most people, I really thought more people were good, honest people. But I'm about decided they're not. Most people love the darkness. They like being able to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And they don't want to have a whole lot to do with God. And that's sad. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus the very thing. He says, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." The Word of God, according to Ephesians 5, verse 13, is the light that reproves sin. It shows people that their deeds were wrong. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you got to get this. If you're going to continue to do what you want to do, you hate the light. You hate my way. And all of this goes back to the point in verse 3. You got to be born again. You got to change everything about your life. You can't go on doing what you want to do, Nicodemus. You got to get that. Verse 21, "But he that doeth truth." There's that E-T-H again. He that continues to do what is truth. What is truth? Jesus said, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Word of God is truth. If we do what is in the Word of God, then we come to the light. And that's what exactly John 3, verse 5 means. Born of the water and of the Spirit. I do what the Word of God says. I submit myself to the reenactment of the gospel, and I am born again. I'm a new creature. I do the truth. I come to the light, and my deeds are made manifest that they're wrought in God. Not that I'm saved in and of some meritorious way, but God operates on my heart. Colossians 2, verse 12. He forgives me of all of my sin. I contact the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 1, verse 7, and I obtain redemption, the forgiveness of my sins. And he's trying to get Nicodemus to see all of this. And you know, I'm not sure that he ever does. You know, that's the sad part, isn't it? You know, but that's one of the ways that I know the Bible comes from God. You know, if a man would have wrote this, he would have had to give us some insight, right? What did Nicodemus do? What did he think? God doesn't have to give us that. Maybe because Nicodemus didn't do anything. Maybe he liked the praise of men more than the praise of God. We're going to find out in chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, a lot of people of his caliber was like that. A lot of people, they liked their place in society. They liked what men said about them way more than they liked what God said about them. But I hope and pray that all of this falls upon your heart tonight and my heart. And I hope that we are a people that love the light far more than the darkness. And I hope we do that in the days and years ahead in our lives. And I hope someday we can all go to heaven together. If you would bow with me, our time is up. Father, we're thankful for another good day. We're thankful that we can come together and study your word. Father, help us to allow that word to penetrate into our hearts, to cause us to be people of yours, Father, to help us to love that light, Father. Help us to walk in that light, help that light to guide our path every day, to always ask ourselves and ask your word what, Father, you would have us to do. Help us to be a people of the book, to put it in our hearts, Father, and just live by it every day. Forgive us for all the many failures that we have, Father, and all the things that we do wrong. Father, go with us as we leave tonight. Give us a safe trip home and bring us back Sunday, Father, and help us to worship you in a way that will be pleasing. Be with all those that are sick and struggling and grieving over loss, Father. In Christ's name, amen.